Let the record indicate it is now 11:40.
10:40.
I'm sorry, 10:40. And the Finance Committee is back in session. Our item for consideration is PCO 6-26. And given the time and what's left for discussion this evening, I would entertain a motion to move to the floor without a recommendation.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Finance Committee is adjourned at 10:41.
All right, we can get back into it. So the full council reconvenes at 10:52 p.m. We'll take up where we left off. So first up is general communications. We have announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. Does anyone have anything for general communications? All right, I just have the one, the Vows Spring Fling happening on May 16th, 6 p.m. You'll also hear about this from me at the next meeting too, but you'll find it online if you want, either on their Facebook or elsewise. So next up is executive communications. First up, acceptance of the acceptance of minutes from council meeting held on March 9th, 2026. Is there any objection to approving those minutes as presented? Seeing none, so approved. Next is the minutes from March 23rd, 2026. Same question. Is there any objection to approving those as presented? Seeing none, so approved. Next up are the minutes from April 6th, 2026. Is there any objection to approving those as presented? Seeing none, so approved. Next is the consent calendar. PCR 49-26 resolution relative to bids. We'll go to the finance chair, Councilman Lattiser.
Committee recommends favorable action on PCR 49-26.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 49-26.
Seconded by Councilman Muto. Are there any questions or concerns regarding PCR 49-26 that wasn't already heard in committee? All right, seeing none, there are two items that were removed. Councilman, you want to do the first one?
Yes, the first item is 2027-001B, now PCR 50-21. This was sent to the floor without a recommendation. Do you want to move action on it or? Okay. The next item is item number 6, 2026-309. The bituminous concrete and roadway and sidewalk. That was a number requested by Department of Public Works to amend the amount, and that is now PCR 51-26. The amendment was to increase the spending authority from $57,200 to $75,165.
All right, so first up, can we get a vote on the consent calendar? There's already a motion for favorable action. So given that there was, well, let's make sure. Is there any further discussion on this? All right, seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snapping?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise? Yes. Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Buto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ray?
Yes.
9 yes.
All right, next is bid 2027-001B, which is now PCR 50-26. Councilman Lattiser, because it was a while ago. Well, first, we need a motion. Is there a motion regarding this item?
It was sent to the floor without a recommendation.
So is it all right if he summarizes, even though there's not a motion?
You need a motion favorable or unfavorable?
I apologize, I didn't hear.
I say, do you need a motion favorable or unfavorable?
It appears so, yes, before we can get to the summary part.
Okay, I make a motion for unfavorable action on PCR 50-26.
All right, and so is there a second? All right, and now we can do discussion. Councilman Lattiser, can you summarize, because
okay,
it was so long ago, what this is and what the issue is with it?
Okay, summarize it
please.
Quickly. This is a bid that is in correlation with 2027-001A, and the issue that I have with this is, once again, the department is coming to the council for approval on a whole series of vendors that, for whatever reason, didn't bid in the first place. So they choose not to bid. This seems to be, a common occurrence lately, where vendors are not bidding because they're saying, what the heck? We're gonna get assigned stuff anyways because they need it. So the other issue with this is the fact that the vendors who did bid had to put up an hourly rate in other numbers. These vendors didn't submit anything. So we have no idea what they're going to charge for hourly rates. The response was, well, we know what the other bidders are, what their rates are. These folks have, did work for us in the past. That's not how it works. How it works is you get a commitment on what, at least at the bare minimum, what the hourly rate is going to be charged by these folks. It's wrong to just continue to give vendors a free pass, let them waltz into the city of Warwick, get the bids, get the work, without having to go through the bid process like other vendors do. And under the pretense that, we don't have any choice, we gotta give it to them. Fine, if you have to give it to them, then at the very least, they need to have their feet held to the fire with a commitment to an hourly rate that they're going to charge the city of Warwick for the repair services that they're going to provide. And that's my objection to awarding this. I had made a motion to hold it until such time as the department could ascertain those commitments from those vendors, what their hourly rates were. And then once we know what they are, okay, then I don't have a problem with it. But to just give it to them because we need them and not know what the costs are associated to the taxpayers is wrong.
So I apologize. I have a question based on what you said. Why are we doing a motion for unfavorable if you want to hold it?
Because it was a tie vote. My motion to hold it came in a tie vote, 2 yes, 2 no.
Right, so that was in committee. Your motion before us now could be a motion to hold instead of a motion for unfavorable action.
Okay, correct, yes.
So is it permissible for him to simply withdraw and redo?
Yeah, I'll withdraw and I'll renew. My motion is to hold PCR 50-21 to May 11th, which will give the department 2 weeks to come up with those labor rates.
All right, and is there a second? So there's a second. All right, so first things first, Christy, did you want to speak on this? I think I saw you walking up to it.
Yes, I do. Just to clarify a couple of things, it is not a bid, what we're requesting. It is actually a 56-6, which, as everyone knows, is an exception to notice. The reason we're asking for these vendors is because they are very specific to certain fire apparatus that would need repair. I just want to clarify again that the majority of the fire apparatus repairs are done in our automotive garages. This bid is for anything that cannot be done by our in-house mechanics. And just for example, I know I've used it before, Allegiance Fire and Rescue is proprietary to the Pierce Fire Engines. Coastal International is proprietary to the International Rescues and so forth and so on. So it's not that they, Councilman Lattister is correct, they did not submit a bid on the 2027-2001A portion, but we need to have our fire apparatus fixed in a timely fashion if it's not something that we can do in-house. This request allows us to do that, and the only reason it is assigned the same bid number is because we are attaching the 56-6 vendors to the bid that was opened. They share the same principle as well as the same spending authority.
So may I respond?
Yeah, I also have a question, but go ahead.
So Christy's right, stand correct, that it's not a bid, but it is a 56-6, which is and as opposed to doing a bid. And you can color this any way you want. And we can come back to the same thing that we got to have it, we got to have it, we got to have it. You don't have to have anything if you don't know what it's costing you. Now, before this item came to us, it could have been very easily reached out to these vendors who, again, chose not to bid on 2027-001A. They chose not to go through the exercise and fill out the paperwork and do whatever they got to do to get the bids in so they can be in line with everybody else who is bidding. And now we're asking, or the department is asking us, to approve these vendors who didn't bid and did not provide any hourly rate. So if they're used for something, they can charge whatever hourly rate they want. And to leave it up to the department to ascertain rates after we approve it, that doesn't make any sense to me. This is something that the city council needs to say, we need to exercise financial responsibility and we need to know how much those vendors are going to charge us per hour. We want it in writing so it can be documented.
So I had a question regarding, hold on, I gotta write down his time so I don't forget. It's three questions. One, is there any objection to holding this, or I guess a better way to word it, is there any urgency that this would need to be approved today?
The current bid expires on June 7th.
Yeah,
all right. And if it was in fact held till May 11th, does that give enough time to address what Councilman Lattiser has brought up?
I mean, there's no guarantee that.
All right, and the other part of my question was, is the 001A bid for different fire apparatus as compared to the 001B566?
So there are certain apparatus.
So there's separate groups of apparatus.
Yes, and there's components that, so let's take, for example, on scene. There's components that they can work on that are not proprietary to the vehicle, like pump work. They're certified to do pump work, but the pump work is not, the pump is the pump. It's not proprietary. Every fire engine has a pump. But when it comes to different other aspects of fire apparatus, there are certain things that are proprietary. If our mechanics are not certified to work on, or if the workload is, you know, too, like, we obviously have a lot of other vehicles that we're responsible to fix. We basically have one or two mechanics that all they work on is fire. That's it. And then the rest of the mechanics work on whatever comes through the door, primarily sanitation for the most part. It will hinder our ability to make sure that this apparatus is fixed in a timely manner. And we have a duty and responsibility to the residents of Warwick to make sure that our fire department can respond to their emergency. And just to point out one other thing, when our fire department doesn't have enough apparatus to respond to calls, they borrow from other communities. And when the other community's apparatus fails while we have it, we have to fix it. So now we're also fixing Cranston's rescue or their engine or whatever happens to be borrowed at the time. So there's a lot of different components that go into what we do in public works. And, you have to have faith in our department that we know what we're doing and we know what we're asking for.
Mr.
All right,
President.
So just so I'm clear, too, so the point about these need to get fixed, and without the 56.6, they won't get fixed, and I feel like it's belaboring the point, but I want to make sure I'm understanding. The 001A bid, if the 001B 56.6 doesn't go forward. The 001A can't pick up the slack because that's not to affix these apparatus in question by 001B.
Correct. The, right. the vendors that we request on the B portion are proprietary to certain manufacturers.
All right, and then, but as you pointed out, and as the position paper points out, this doesn't expire till June, so a hold till May 11th.
July 1st.
So I'm looking at 001A, I apologize.
June 8th.
All right. Yeah, new contract period would be June 8th, June 7th, 2027. So current bid expires June 7th, 2026. So I don't see the harm in holding till May 11th, unless I'm missing something, and I admit I may be. This is largely based on the time right now, because we got a lot to cover still, and I'm not sure we should be sitting on this particular item when it's something that can wait, again, unless I'm missing something. But I know
so
there's two other lights, and I see the director.
May I follow up on the comments? Nobody's disputing the work that has to be done. Nobody's disputing that this is proprietary. Nobody's disputing that there's some of these things that our staff cannot do for whatever reason. There's no dispute with that.
No, I think your point's clear, Councilman Madison.
And to your question, can you get the answer to those questions by May 11th? Should be able to get the answers tomorrow. It's pick up a phone. How much is your labor rate? Send us off an email saying what your labor rate is.
Right, Councilman Madison.
This is ridiculous.
Her point is that she can't force them to respond within that time frame.
So then what does that mean? That means you pay them whatever they send in?
Backseat driver or anything. I'm just saying like that not being able to guarantee that makes sense, at least from where I'm sitting and the field I'm in. Director?
Yeah, Eric Earls, Public Works Director. I just want to point out that this is not unique to Warwick, right? These vendors, they don't bid because they don't have to. They have plenty of work, right? It was the same issue when I was Public Works Director in Pawtucket. We needed these vendors to fix our apparatus, and they work on pieces that are proprietary. They can charge certain amounts because they are the only game in town, but their prices are fair, because if they weren't, the manufacturer would lean on them to be fair, because otherwise it would make it difficult for that manufacturer to continue to have product that people would want. So there is a check and balance here. And it's the manufacturer that is checking on their local vendors to be reasonable with their prices. That being said, if we come back here and say that the price is X amount per hour, how is anyone on this council going to know whether or not that's a good price? What is your expertise versus what our expertise is? And I don't mean myself. I just mean my staff, right? Because we have been doing this. If we are here to tell you that these vendors are giving us a good price, now I come back to you and say, this is the price, how are you going to know? Because we do, right? That's my point. And we've gone through this before. There is a time when council needs to trust that we have the staff and the expertise to make these decisions. That's all.
Councilman Napa.
Thank you, Council President. Thank you, Director Earls and Christie. Councilman Lattiser, I agree with your points that I wish these vendors would fill out bid items and bid. But I'm also hearing from the directors that they don't bid because they don't have to, because they are the only game in town. So I'm not trying to be argumentative, but I would just, if I could, through the President to Councilman Lattiser, if they come back in 2 weeks, what do we do then if the vendor says, I'll quote you in real time what my price will be for this, whatever job you present, or they just don't respond? What then? I just so I understand what your intentions would be if they are not successful in getting the information that you want in the 2 week time that we're proposing.
May I respond?
Yep.
So then why don't we just say, don't bother coming to us at all. Do whatever you want, pay whatever you want, buy whatever you want. We don't have any accountability to the taxpayers. I am not disputing or saying that if they come to us with an hourly rate, that we're qualified to make the decision whether that's fair or equitable. I mean, if it's completely out of the stratosphere, it doesn't take a genius to know you're not going to spend crazy numbers. I'm not here to dispute it. What I'm here to say is that we need to know how much we're spending, how much they're charging us per hour. There isn't one person in this chamber would go anywheres and buy anything unless you had an idea or a price of what you're going to pay. Why don't you have somebody come over and remodel your kitchen and say, don't worry about it. You know, this is all proprietary cabinets. We'll send you the bill when we're done.
Chairman, I respectfully, you haven't answered my question that I asked. You did not answer the question that I actually asked you. My question again was, if we come back in 2 weeks and the company refuses to give the department heads the answers that you're looking for, which I completely agree that we need, mind you, I'm not being disputive of that point. Mm-hmm. If they don't provide it for the department heads, what is the intention at that point?
Well, then perhaps next time something comes to us with a Peterbilt or a Ford or something that requires a specific vendor because our folks can't do it, then guess what? We don't have to buy that particular vehicle. We can buy another vehicle. If the vendor is going to be that obstinate and that cocky,
Councilman, I'm just focused on what's going to happen at the next meeting if they don't have that answer. That's all I'm asking from you.
And I just answered your question. So if they say, we don't care what you say, we're not going to tell you what the price is until we do the work. Fine. Then when that company or that vehicle comes back to us again for a bid, keep that in mind that you're dealing with a vendor who is that arrogant to say, we're not going to tell you what the labor rate is.
Understood.
I didn't say to tell me what the total is. I said what the labor rate is.
Okay.
Yeah, so future conduct, basically.
I got it. Yep. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Are you good? Councilman DeLuise?
Yes. Oh, I don't know who's up there. Christy. So you said that this bid ask was for the proprietary companies. When your mechanics cannot fix a vehicle or a problem that you have,
correct,
then it goes out to these other experts that are in that certain particular piece of equipment.
Correct.
All right. So do you base that, what if you have like a spectacular year and everything that breaks down can be fixed by your people? So how do you, and you don't need to have any expenditures by these expert technicians. Do you base that on your prior year's spending? Like what did you spend for these proprietary mechanics like a year ago?
So as a whole, and with the two combined, we spent $83,000. With the amount of apparatus that the fire department requires us to maintain, that's nothing, which means we're doing the majority of the work in-house. We're probably doing 95% of the work in-house. So
okay.
The ask for this is minimal for the amount of work that the fire trucks or ambulance get because they are in our garages every day.
Okay, so you spent $85,000, you said, last year?
$83,000,
and that money was paid to which mechanics? The city's mechanics?
Is strictly for any outside vendors we use out of that.
All right,
particular
so you're
budget
83, budget. So that's another $17,000. That's not above, and you know, it's not as, you know, astronomical figure.
That's like a drop to, like I said, the amount of time that the apparatus spends in our garages.
Yeah, I just needed a reference point. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. My God. Sometimes I just have to take a quick step back on these things. We're talking about repairs to fire trucks. Fire trucks are typically in the hands of government bodies. You don't see many private individuals going around buying fire trucks and repairing fire trucks and the like. We already know we're talking about no-bid contracts because it's proprietary. So we're not exactly talking about the world's most competitive industry here. We're talking no-bid contracts, dealing with apparatus that's used by government. Where have we seen problems with this before? I mean, turn on the news. It's, you know, you see these issues with the federal government all the time. From Halliburton on forward, at least thinking from, you know, my time when I started watching the news. So it's not exactly reassuring to me when I'm hearing from the department head that, don't worry about it, City Council. You don't have the expertise to even look at this and know what you're looking at. Pardon me, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. That's just what I'm hearing. This is my impression of what I'm hearing. And effectively being told that the check here to make sure that these vendors are behaving reasonably is that the manufacturers put pressure on them. In the context of a governmental no-bid contract, I do not want to be told that what's keeping all of this reasonable for us is the generosity and good grace of big business in a highly specialized, non-competitive area. Oh yeah, big business. They're surely looking out for us, making sure that the government contracts are all incredibly reasonable. Let's stop and think about that for just a moment. Okay, yeah. I think that Councilman Lattiser is being incredibly reasonable here in saying that we need the numbers. We need to follow the process. These particular businesses don't get a free pass here. We have a process in place to try to protect the taxpayers. If we're not insisting on that, what are we even doing here reviewing these things? Let's just, just go ahead, give them the blank checks. So I'm with Councilman Lattiser on this for all of those reasons. Thank you.
All right, I see no other lights on, so, Ed, Mayor?
Just another comment. We can hold it. We can try to get the prices. We may not be able to. And then there is nothing that holds them to those prices during the year. Nothing. We have an obligation to taxpayer, but we have the same obligation, a bigger obligation, to keep the public safe. If a fire truck breaks down, it has to be fixed. I don't like the situation any more than any of you. I don't like the way we have to buy fire trucks now. They're almost two-thirds more than when I first became mayor. There's a problem. There's a monopoly going on. We don't like the situation, but we have to keep the public safe. We're probably not going to have any more information next month that's going to satisfy you than you do right now. I mean, it could be $600 an hour. It could be $800 an hour if there is breaks involved. They're going to charge us what they're going to charge us, and we just don't have any choice. But we absolutely have to fix the fire trucks. There's no way around it. Public safety is our biggest job here, to protect the public.
So, clerk will please call the roll on the motion to hold till May 11th. Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby? Did you say yes? Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
All right, next, bid 2026-309. Now PCR 51-26. My understanding is that this is favorable with amendment. Councilman Lattiser?
Yes, the committee recommended favorable action with an amendment on PCR 51-26. The amendment, at the request of the department, is to increase spending authority from $57,200 to $75,165, and I would move favorable action on the amendment.
All right, so the amendment proposed, seconded by Councilor Muto. Is there any questions or, okay, no, there's not. Oh, Jeremy, your light's on. Sorry, Councilman Rick. So, clerk will please call the roll on the proposed amendment.
Mr. Sinami?
Yes.
Yes.
Madison. Yes.
Bruno. Yes.
Nama.
Yes.
All right, and now as amended, Councilman Lattiser.
I'm sorry?
Can you move it as amended, please?
Yes, move PCR 51-26 as amended.
Seconded by Councilman Muto. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Snapping.
Yes.
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 All right. Next, unfinished business, PCO 13-25 sub A, an ordinance amending procedures relative to transfer of tax title to property. This is ordinance, Councilman Napa.
This matter was requested favorable action in committee.
All right, so for action, Councilman Napa.
Motion to move favorable action.
Seconded by anybody? Councilman Muto. All right, is there any further discussion? Please keep in mind we discussed this at length. All right, Councilman Foley.
Move the question, please.
No lights. All right, so to which part?
Call the question before we make sure the debate is complete.
That's why I looked up first. I'm sorry? Look, I'm happy to make sure there's no further questions. I'm not trying to rush. If someone has a question, yes.
I cannot hear.
Oh, I apologize. He objected because he was worried that somebody actually had a question, which is fine. Does anyone have a question or comment they wish to make that they didn't have a chance to make otherwise? All right, seeing none, Councilman Lattiser.
So I just want to go on the record that I still object to moving forward with this for all the reasons that I had stated in committee. And I still don't know where all of these deletions and additions are pertinent.
All right, so returning to the motion to move the previous question.
I
guess there's no lights on, so we just go to the normal motion of vote. So clerk, please call the roll on the motion for favorable action.
Mr. Snapping.
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise.
Yes.
Mr. Foley.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. Muto?
No.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
All right. Unless there's any objection, I want to skip to PCO 6-26 because PCO 5-26 is contingent on a different item that's much later on the agenda. So PCO 6-26 under new business, an ordinance amending section 60-500 of the Code of Ordinances to provide flexibility in city OPEB contributions that would exceed those matching employee contributions for the period until the state reimbursement on school construction debt service begins. Councilman Lattiser, this was financed. My understanding, it came into the full council with no recommendation, correct?
That's correct.
All right, and we haven't had public comment on it yet. Unless someone really wants to go first, I'd like the public to be able to speak after the administration does. So that way, if someone's been sitting here this whole time to speak on it, they can weigh in. So first, administration, please.
Council President, if you don't have any objection, we'd be happy to let the resident speak for us if she wants to leave.
The only reason why I suggested you all is that if any of them were unclear on it, that would give your explanation would provide clarity.
I'm not sure how much clarity I'm going to lend, but Bill Vicente, Chief of Staff. So this is an ordinance that allows the city, how it's written right now, any reduction in the pension contributions through the actuary's recommendation, if there's a reduction, that reduction is then put into the OPEB trust. What the city is asking is to amend the ordinance to allow the city the flexibility in not making the OPEB contribution based on the actuary's recommendation, but based on the OPEB paid by the employee as a match. Until such time as the city receives full reimbursement from the school projects that are under construction right now. Right now we're facing, you know, as everyone knows, millions of dollars in debt payments that are coming up in 2027. I believe it's to the tune of $15.8 million in 2027. So this money that we can, the actuary has been telling us for years that we're going to be facing a reduction in the municipal pension contribution due to the performance of the plan and the actuary's analysis in our investments. They're very well funded. We're estimating approximately $5 million that we do not have to make into the pension contribution. So by ordinance, that would then need to go into the OPEB trust. So what we're asking is that we're allowed to not make that deposit into the OPEB trust, but to allow that to help with our 2027 budget to compensate for the increase in the debt service, most of which is from the schools.
So
originally when we proposed the ordinance, we couldn't anticipate the time employee contribution into the OPEB fund. That wasn't under contract yet. We didn't anticipate the school department have a $10 million deficit. We didn't anticipate a lot of things. We just want to defer this payment rather than going into the OPEB trust for now until we start getting the balloon payment and the full reimbursement from the schools. That will enable us to not keep dipping into the fund balance to a tune of $5 million a year. We don't want to get the fund balance too low, which would jeopardize our credit rating, our bond rating, which would cost us more borrowing. And we don't want to run out of the money because the strategy has been all along to use our fund balance, which is around $31 million, to offset our growing debt service for the schools until we get reimbursed, full reimbursement. We're going to get a balloon payment the first 2 years. It's about $21 million, which would replenish the rainy day fund, the fund balance. And they're going to start paying us roughly 50% of our debt service. So once the schools are completed, times are a lot better, but we have to get there. That's why we're proposing this now. As I said, we would you would either have to go over the 4% cap or dip into the fund balance. It's the only way to get it done right now. Starting this coming budget year, we have $15.8 million in debt service, not just for the high schools, it's also for the previous $94 million in bonds.
So, Ms. Komar, even though I said your name, could you just please introduce yourself?
Well, I thank the mayor for answering some questions at our short break. So we have the $50 million bond and another $40 that went to other schools besides the two new high school construction projects. So then the two new high schools are $350 million bond. So all these projects, the mayor told me, have to be completed before we get ride reimbursement. So a lot of deadlines here. And we're all looking at minimizing the taxpayers' liability. And it's all numbers game and financing. That's what we're all looking at right now. So the clock has started because the mayor told me that they have paid some debt service back. So this can take an effect and freeze, we'll take the OPEC contribution money and put it towards this debt for the school construction. So we can do that now. How I had this question about, are we taking from one pocket to the other, and do we need a physical note? Because I do recall the consultant, Mr. Newton, making an adjustment to our liabilities and penciling out $100 million, or $100,000 million. So he reduced our obligation liabilities to the city, the taxpayers. So we're further behind by taking this $5 million. So what's the big picture here? This is why we need an auditor or somebody that's looking at the whole thing. We know the school department has said several times that they're not looking at the financing. They're passing that on to the city to maintain how the bond is being paid back. They're just worried about school construction costs, the contract addendums for construction coming in, their budget coming into the city. So I don't know how we're making out as from the taxpayer standpoint when we're just taking a pencil across our obligations for OPEC, which by city ordinance we're supposed to be, until that's zero, we're supposed to be contributing that every year. It says right in the ordinance. Well, we're not doing that. So we're going to be in violation of our own ordinance, plus that $100 million out of the line item for obligation. What if somebody, and I know investors that are favorable to buying municipal bonds, do they really have a clear picture of what work's worth? We just penciled out a lot of obligations in a stroke. So my whole purpose is to minimize the taxpayers' burden on the schools, the other bonds that get lumped together so we can get reimbursed by RIDE, our OPEC obligations. How does this all come together? And I can only see by asking a physical note and how this all works, because I haven't had the answers for the big picture yet. That's what I am asking for tonight. Thank you.
All right. Do any other members of the public wish to speak on this item? All right. So it's almost a tie. But Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So in full disclosure, I want to say that at my request last week, the council president and myself met with the chief of staff and Mayor Bocozzi because I wanted to know what's going to happen with this $5.7 million that Joe Newton had put out there. Now, arguably, the number can float from 5 million to 5.7. Today, let me back up. At the end of that meeting, it sounded like a good idea. I said, okay, you're not going to put $5 million into the OPEB trust fund, which for those of you who are on the council back in the day, you know I objected to it then. I think that whole thing is a shell game. It's been manipulated. It has been withheld. Joe Newton said we need to fund it $13 to $15 million a year. He was just here. So we continue now with, okay, now I find out today that this five-something million is going to go to reduce the school bond debt. to Ms. Comas' comments regarding for a minimal contribution to OPEB, the actuaries reduced our obligation or liability by approximately $150 million. Mr. Cushman has been telling us this forever, but let's not listen to him. But it seems as though the numbers come back. So here we are. We go from, oh, we got to do this, to, oh, we can't pay for it because we don't have $13 to $15 million we can put in every year, to now we're not going to have to put in $5 million a year because we've reached a certain benchmark, and we're going to use that elsewhere. What happens when all of these obligations come to be? How about the, what are we talking, $12 million a year when the bond comes due for the two schools? You get $12 million a year for that. We've got $13 to $15 million for OPEB that is miraculously going to pay for itself in a very short time. We've heard that the numbers state that you're not going to get a break even on this for at least 10 years or more. That's if you're funding it at the full capacity, which we never have, nor are we going to be able to do so. So now this does not make sense to me any longer, where we're going to take this pension monies to pay down the school bond. Why don't we come up with a $5 million reduction in the budget and pay for the school bond that way, and use the $5 million that we have here and now for more taxpayer benefit? So we don't fund it this year. Next year, we don't particularly necessarily have to fund it either. So how does that work in the formula? If you don't put money into the pot this year, does that mean you're going to have to put more money in next year? Does the plan continue to perform at 85% funded if you don't put in the money that you're supposed to put in? That's how it got to 85% funded. But let's not worry about that. Let's, you know, deal with that at another day. Let's let another city council deal with that. This is the problem that I have with government. It's, okay, not going to happen on my watch. And I'm not suggesting that's the attitude or the thought process of anyone in this chamber, but it's the reality. May not happen on my watch or your watch, but these problems are going to happen on some taxpayers' watch. But let's just forget about funding it. And let's let the debt continue to increase, and we're not going to worry about, let me rephrase that, and we'll deal with it as the day of reckoning comes. Well, the day of reckoning comes when you can't pay your bills. And when you can't pay your bills, that's when people end up in serious financial trouble. They don't have the opportunity to just pass it on to the taxpayers. I think what needs to happen, and I would suggest this, is that this city council demands a complete reorganization of this OPEB plan. Complete reorganization. Because to me, right now, this is nothing more than a shell game. We have issues going on. Oh, by the way, we're going to put in 2% if they put in 2% and somebody else puts in 2%. It's funny how contracts can be influenced. by somebody, but they can't be influenced by someone else. So I'm going to yield, Mr. President, to my colleagues, to the administration. And oh, by the way, something else. And admittedly, I did not request it at the meeting that we had last week, which was the fiscal note. Today at 3:20 in the afternoon, we received a fiscal note. I didn't happen to see it till about 4:15. So are we expected to digest and analyze this fiscal note? Two meetings ago, I was challenged on the floor because I wanted to make amendments. And oh, that's not a good idea because we need to have time to digest it. We're talking about a $6 million item right here in a fiscal note that just came to us at 3:20. So, yep, there's a different spin that has made me rethink my position on this. I yield, Mr. President.
And just so we know, as far as timing is concerned, so the fiscal note was provided within one business day of it being requested, right? Hold on. There's a, yes. I'm not asking to argue. I'm just letting you know information that you may not have known. Within a one business day of it being requested, it was provided.
I believe that the ordinance requires a fiscal note to
come
to us 7 days
prior. I'm not fighting any of that. I'm just letting you know because you said, wow, I got it so late. Just saying it was provided within one business day. That's all. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. A few years ago, the city council at the time went ahead and approved a new plan deviating from the 40-year plan. Don't worry, it'll be fine. We'll just increase the payments by this amount every year, and that'll take care of all of these long-term underfunded liabilities. The whole point of making these contributions is so that we take advantage of compound interest. I see some very reassuring things in the fiscal notes stating about how the liability in the space of 4 years has come down as to OPEB by $99 million. Well, I know we haven't contributed $99 million to it. I know that the contributions plus gains haven't equaled $99 million. I mean, really, it's... if someone were looking at that for the very first time and not aware of the accounting methodology, that would be, well, I won't go there. Suffice to say that if we don't put in that, say, $5 million amount this year, we are not going to get the gains of having had that $5 million invested. So we're gonna have to make up that amount plus the amount that we missed out on the gains on top of it at some future point. When is that future point going to be exactly? I mean, that amount represents basically a 2.5% tax increase, more or less, even before factoring in the lost gains. So that would be pretty tricky to make up in any political environment. Nobody wants to see the city dip further into the rainy day fund, and that would just really just be shooting ourselves in the foot, because then we'd wind up paying a lot more in interest rates. And that leads to, no polite way to put it, leads to a death spiral. We can't have our interest rates get out of control on all of this debt. The other alternative here, aside from kicking the can down the road and hurting ourselves in the long term like that, would be to go ahead and ask the taxpayers, most likely, for a tax increase of greater than 4% to the degree that we can't reasonably find ways to find savings, make cuts. I don't have the optimism to think that we're going to find that kind of money without very severe cuts. And I know that there are some different ideas out there. I won't talk about those because those are not currently the items on the agenda. Whether or not those would be acceptable, that's a whole nother conversation. But either way, it puts us in an incredibly difficult position, and it becomes a question, okay, do we face the pain now, or do we face the pain later? And that pain later is going to continue to compound and grow. So I don't really see, out of these options, a good choice. I only see which of these is the least bad option. And I say, out of all of the options, the least bad option is let's tackle the problem right now. Since we didn't tackle it years ago, let's tackle it now, because it's only going to get worse and harder to deal with in the future. And at some point, it's going to become impossible to deal with. So let's tackle it before it becomes impossible. Thank you.
And so I think because it's so late, none of us motioned one way or another, because this came with no recommendation from the committee. So we first need to entertain a motion for favorable or unfavorable so that we can actually continue this discussion. So does anyone wish to motion one way or another on this?
Move favorable action.
Motion made for favorable action. Is there any second? Seconded by Councilman Foley. All right, I apologize. As far as I'm concerned, that's on me. So, all right, carrying on to the next slide. Councilman Mito.